Welcome to the Generations Broadcast Room. It's Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack, also in the studio, just a couple of homeschooling dads. Coming to you from a biblical perspective and
the bunker
basement.
The bunker.
You like to call it the bunker. Why is that?
Because
it feels a little bunker-esque.
Yeah, plus it gives people the idea that we're hunkering down. You know,
it's
a biblical perspective and a bunker. But, you know, that there's a war going on. You know, we don't live in the bunker. We broadcast
from the bunker.
Bunch of bees, right?
Yeah.
But we go out.
We go out there and we engage the culture.
As you
did recently when you took the bakery to task over whether they would discriminate religiously against you while they're not going to discriminate on sexual orientation. Okay, so you're out there making it happen. I got out there on the personhood amendment about a year or two ago.
Yep.
And Planned Parenthood sued me. They sued Kevin Swanson to try to prevent us from getting on the ballot.
And it's intimidation. They win through intimidation.
They do it all the time.
And what it does is it ties up your resources.
Sure.
And as a result, it intimidates others who think, I don't want to put myself out on a limb.
You got to look at what they are. They're a $6 billion organization.
Yeah.
And who am I? I'm just like me.
Yeah.
It's against me.
They're a bunch of bullies.
There was another lady, a Hispanic lady, that was with me in the sponsorship of the Personhood Amendment, and she was also a victim in the suit. But we won at the Colorado Supreme Court level, thanks be to God. But that's the point. Yeah, they're $6 billion strong or whatever they are. They get, $400 or $500 million per year from the government, and I don't get a dime. I just pay for it.
Right.
And so Planned Parenthood is truly one of the gigantic organizations that has been funded by the left, funded by leftist governments, funded by the federal government, which is a leftist government and has been since the 1970s when Title X funding was moved towards Planned Parenthood and other organizations that do abortions. And I don't know as if there's ever been a lapse in federal funding of abortions to Planned Parenthood over all that period of time. I can't remember.
There was an attempt. There was an attempt
by
Congress, and it failed.
And it failed, okay.
And when I say we're in a bunker, I say that tongue-in-cheek.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the way the culture looks at Christians, that we should just retreat,
mm-hmm.
and we should live our lives privately in a bunker. And many Christians have that idea. I don't want to have to engage culture.
Yeah.
And so when I say that, I'm saying that sarcastically,
sure,
because we don't live in a bunker. And our encouragement to our listeners is to go out to educate your children, to raise up a godly seed, but to take it into the culture and not retreat from
culture.
There's
a role, as there is in basketball, there is a role for defensive and a role for offensive.
Yep.
If you ran into a basketball team that didn't do offensive and all they did was defensive, you knew they were a losing team.
Right.
Right? All they did was defense and no offensive. No training offensive. They never did an offensive problem. And, Bill, that's the way I look at what we are doing. I think there's an element of defensive. We are playing an element of defensive, especially when we protect our children from public school ideologies.
Right.
And we're trying to, you know, put a shelter. People say you shelter your kids. You're homeschooling. Yeah, of course we shelter.
Just like you greenhouse young plants.
Of course you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to chuck them out into the storm and assume that somehow they're going to be fine. No. You work with them. You nurture them. And then eventually, hopefully, prepare them to be on the offensive out there.
To be free.
Sure.
And, you know, one of our faculty at Worldview Academy says, you know, people say that I'm brainwashing my children. And my answer is, yes, I am.
Yeah.
I want their brains washed in the Word of God.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Versus the other form of brainwashing. Let's face it. Pick your worldview. Pick your brainwashing. Some worldviews are better than others.
One worldview is the best of all.
There we go. Okay, well, let's take a look at what Planned Parenthood is doing now. This is Planned Parenthood announces that God favors abortion. I think this is Christian Post. The left's attempt to marginalize faith-based values and castigate believers has been relentless over the past several years. Anyone willing to speak out in support of God's word in public must be prepared to withstand an impending character assault by the vocal humanists who consider such values intolerant. Planned Parenthood, whose implicit taxpayer-funded mission is the mass slaughter of unborn children, recently attempted to hijack religion as a way to coerce pregnant women into making the devastating decision to kill their own babies. In a pastoral letter to patients from Planned Parenthood.
A pastoral
letter.
I don't
even like that sound, do you?
No.
A pastoral letter to patients. Planned Parenthood asserted that God does not mind the fact that developed life created in his image is being massacred by the millions in modern America. Now, they didn't put it that way. That's the editorial.
Yes.
The letter endorsed by far-left members of the clergy states that the, quote, decision to have an abortion is personal. According to the religious leaders who signed on to this outrageous disinformation campaign, the Bible does not strictly prohibit abortion, which must mean some butchery is permissible. Here's the quote. Many people wrongly assume that all religious leaders disapprove of abortion. The letter alleges, stating that there are clergy and people of faith from all denominations who support women making this complex decision. And sadly, there are way, way too many of the liberal ilk that have endorsed abortion. Not so over 1,980 years of church history, by the way.
Right.
It's just all of the smart new gods of the marketplace in the modern day have endorsed abortion, assuming that everybody over the period of 1,980 years of church history have been opposed to it. And that's according to research. By the way, I'm getting a book out tracing the history of a Christian approach to abortion, and it is universally opposed to it, considers it a sin and a crime over a long, long period of time, all the way into the 1800s. There were virtually no abortions, Bill. There were several abortionists that appeared in New York City in the latter part of the 19th century. They were women, and they were eventually prosecuted. They never made it to trial because they committed suicide prior to trial. So it's just a nasty, dirty, wicked, awful business in the 19th century. And everybody knew it to be that way. Even the media was, as far as I can tell, 100% opposed to abortion in the latter part of the 19th century. The media saw this to be a wretched, horrific thing happening in New York City. Of course, it took Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood to revive that in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, and the rest is history.
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil.
Well, yeah, it's pretty much what you see in the Old Testament prophets there. These are the false prophets of the day. No question. They're the ones saying peace, peace when there is no peace. They're the ones calling evil good, good evil. And the lines are being drawn, Bill. The lines are being drawn on issues like abortion and homosexuality. Now, I don't think the lines ought to be drawn on what perspective you take on eschatology or how much water you use in a baptism, okay? And there's points at which church has got to be able to discern between gnats and camels, minors and majors. I wish, you know, the churches in America would get a brain on this.
I just swallowed a gnat.
Did you get one?
Oh, I got a gnat.
You got another gnat.
Oh, where's that camel? He looks tasty.
Okay.
We do tend.
We do that a lot.
You know, gag a gnat and swallow a camel.
Yeah, we do it all the time.
And so what's a Christian to do? Okay. We want to protect our families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people just want to be left alone. Most people just want to be left alone. That is not what the Christian is called to do. We are not called to retreat from culture. We're called to advance on culture. Now, why? Do we want to force our belief systems on other people? No. What we want to do is we want to set boundaries so that people are free. We believe in liberty. We believe in liberty even for those who do not believe, who those who believe in no God, but there are boundaries that allow culture to have liberty.
The only decent standard for liberty is God's law.
Exactly.
Without that, you know, the liberty to kill your kid and to get drunk and beat your kid to death, okay, that's no liberty.
No, that's license.
That's no liberty. That's slavery,
right,
to sin. Jesus said that the ultimate slavery is slavery to sin, and that the Son will make you free. You'll be free indeed from what? From sin. That's the freedom Jesus talks about. And what is sin? 1 John 2:14, sin is the transgression of the law.
And people need to understand that the law doesn't save anybody. It just restrains evil.
Yeah.
And that's what Christians...
And defines sin.
Yeah. And that's what Christians need to realize, is that we restrain evil with law. And we define what is wicked by law, but then it allows us liberty as Christians to proclaim grace. Well, we need to speak truth and grace into the culture.
The sad thing about these pastors is they're promoting evil. They're promoting sin. They're not defining liberty by God's laws. And the end result, of course, is that you have all these people who've committed these sins, and you have an entire culture that's become so self-centered that they're willing to sacrifice millions, hundreds of millions of innocent babies on the altar of convenience, because we're such materialistic, self-serving pigs, and, you know, pastors out there promoting it with everything they've got. And you know, God's law very, very clearly, I think, lays out that murder is wrong. Now, what they're saying is God's word doesn't refer to abortion, and yet it does. There is some reference to abortion in the Old Testament.
Correct.
Now, it's the Lex Talionis, the eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life passage, where the men are fighting, and in the process, the woman is caught up in it. They didn't intend to hurt her or her baby, but they did. So what happens is the baby comes out. The word is the baby departs, the baby yalads. The word for yalad is born. And then it says if any harm ensues, it's life for life. Now, there's a couple of ways that people look at this. It's possible that yalad means a miscarriage. I don't think it does. Typically in Scripture, it doesn't. But even if it does mean a miscarriage, in the case of the miscarriage, there's still a fine. Even if it's not capital punishment, the Bible still imposes a fine. Therefore, if in Exodus 21, the Lex Talionis, the incident in which a baby is accidentally killed or miscarried by the action of these men, it constitutes a crime. And here, arguing from greater to lesser, if it is a crime, then it must be a sin. Whether it's a crime warranting a fine or a crime warranting capital punishment, either way, I don't care. That's not my focus. My real issue is it a sin or isn't it a sin? It is a sin. It is wrong to harm a woman such that her baby takes the harm and their baby loses its life.
And the other thing is, you know, the key thing is it's unintentional.
Yeah, there it's unintentional. In the case of the abortion clinic, it's intentional. It's
right.
Intentional.
It's not only unintentional, but the emphasis is that life is valuable. Life has value. And it's unintentional, there is a fine. What we're saying today is, no, this is intentional, and it should be celebrated according to this pastoral letter. And it should be encouraged.
And funded by the United States federal government.
Yes.
Yeah, on top of all of that. A far cry from Exodus 21, the Word of God and what the Word says about the taking of a human life. Friends, we're going to be back in just a moment because I want to share with you some of the things that we're doing in relation to getting out there and getting on the offensive and standing firm on the principle of God's Word, holding life to be sacred, still maintaining that we as Christians do everything we can to prevent the loss of life and standing in the gap for the innocents. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Spencer. Hey dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. How you disciple your son has everything to do with the relationship you have with your son. So don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our Father-Son Retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this August. This year, we will be featuring speakers like Scott Brown, Dan Einerson, Mike Chappa, Steve Vaughn, and yours truly from the Generations Radio program. You'll enjoy outdoor activities, training sessions, including wilderness first aid, mountain survival, blood tracking, as well as sports activities, swimming, high ropes course, rock climbing walls, kayaking, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. And we're cutting the price for the 2014 Father-Son Retreat. It all happens August 28th to the 31st at the most fabulous retreat center in the Colorado Rockies. Register today for our Father-Son Retreat at check.org, that's C-H-E-C.org, that's check.org under Check Events on the web, or call toll-free 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432. On the Generations broadcast, Kevin Swanson with you here. Also, Bill Jack in studio. And Bill, we're talking offensive, defensive here. And both important. Both important.
So Kevin, you know, you are talking, you know, that we are in a bunker in
we're
a sense.
We're out in the bunker. Yeah.
Okay. Because we're protecting our family.
Yeah.
But the offensive part is we're taking the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ into the culture.
Yeah.
So on the issue of abortion, I have a friend who runs a ministry called Created Equal. And you can look it up online. He trains students to go onto college campuses and engage. He trains high school students to go onto college campuses and very offensively.
I've seen this guy's stuff.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, Mark Harrington.
He's good. Mark
great
Harrington.
Guy.
I get his email alerts. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Good
so
guy.
we're celebrating Christians who not only are hearers of the word but doers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So on this issue of abortion, last Friday.
Yeah.
You went out.
Yeah, we went out there.
With a group of students,
with
your
great
family.
Great to get the boots on the ground. My daughter was most interested in organizing. She did a lot of the organizational work. Emily did a lot of this. She just came back from the mission field, and she wanted to get out there a little more, get out of the bunker.
Yeah.
And
so where'd
and
you
get
go?
Stuff going. Aurora. There's a Planned Parenthood abortion mill in Aurora. They do abortions on Fridays. She just discovered it. She, her friends, called up. They found out.
Wow.
And so we went down there. 9 o'clock, something like that, on Friday morning. And it's great to have the boots on the ground. It's great to be out there
so what'd you
talking
do?
To real people.
What happened?
Well, we were out there for about 2.5 hours, got a baby safe.
Really?
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, there's a couple that decided, at least for now. For now. It seemed, can't be sure. Right now, we got their contact info, so we're going to be back and forth. But at least for now, we got a baby safe. So that's something, huh? What's a baby worth, roughly?
Well, I don't know. What does Planned Parenthood charge?
A couple $100. You really think a baby's worth that much?
Mm.
I think a baby's worth a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know why? Because Jesus came to die for the individual. He didn't come to die for the group. He came to die for you and for me.
He paid for our sins.
Yes.
My
each
sins,
person,
your sins.
Mm. Each person has supreme value and worth because our Creator died for us.
Mm-hmm.
Every other worldview values the group over the individual.
Mm-hmm.
It is only biblical Christianity that sees the value and worth of the individual. And that's why Psalm 139 says, "You knew me when you knit me in my mother's womb."
Mm-hmm.
Because that is really important.
Mm-hmm.
It has ramifications in economics. It has ramifications in government, in politics, in law. We are the only worldview that sees the individual as extremely valuable and important. And so when you say that you stopped a couple from terminating the life of their unborn child, mm-hmm. that is to be celebrated.
Yeah.
It is to be celebrated. Yeah. Christians need to be about that. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Christians in Rome in the first century when abandoned babies were put on the wall to be left for the wild animals to tear to shreds.
Mm-hmm.
Rome did not value life.
Mm-hmm.
Rome did not value the individual, just the group. And Christians would risk their lives to go out and retrieve these babies
mm-hmm.
because it was against the law to go get them.
Mm-hmm.
And they would rescue these babies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you did.
Yeah.
That's what your family did. What happened?
Well, a little bit of a challenge sometimes these abortion clinics because you got these laws that limit what you can do.
Bubble laws?
The bubble laws, right. So there's a little bit of tension here as to how close you can get
okay.
and whether
explain,
you can get in conversation
the,
with
explain
people.
Explain the bubble law.
Well, the bubble law requires something like 100 feet between the clinic and where you're standing if you're protesting. Now, we had some protesting going on with the signs. We had the sign thing going on the road some 140 feet away from the place. But we also had some folks that were engaging conversation in the parking lots. And that created a bit of tension, you can imagine.
Because you're exercising your First Amendment. Limits.
Well, we're trying to, right. But the police officer showed up twice.
And what did they say? What did they say
nice,
the first time?
Nice guys. First time, you understand the law. The law is you can be out here on the sidewalk, but we don't want you getting close. Said, yeah, I understand the law. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you coming out. Shake. See you later. Well, our teams continued to interact further on, closer in, because it's hard to talk to folks when you're, 120 feet away. And
right.
So some of our folks were able to engage some pretty important conversations, some really important conversations. And a couple of my daughters, lots and lots of courage. They were out talking to folks and
wow.
they had some wonderful conversations. And one Indian man who was hanging out for quite some time. And after a while, his conscience kind of got the better of him, and he finally agreed with us that they were going to put this thing off and not follow through.
Wow.
At least for the time being. He wasn't sure about his wife. But so anyway, we had some good conversation, and the police came back later, and it was towards the end, and they were a little bit more, you know, hey, guys, you got to be more distance. And we said, well, it was 11:30, and, you know, it's pretty much time to wrap up. So we said, have a nice day, and we drove off. So two visits, relatively decent conversations with the police. And but, you know, it's interesting that it's a high tension moment. There's no question about it. You are on the lines. I think a CT stud said, rather than in cushy chairs in the church, I want to set up a shop 6 feet off the gates of hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the way it feels when you get out there on the front lines. You're 6 feet off the gates of hell. It would be way more comfortable to stay in the church building in the cushy chairs. But it seems to me that more happens if you can get out there and engage.
Okay, talk to me about the fear factor. What's the fear factor?
Because it's a little bit of a jumping into the cold swimming pool first time. You've got to engage those first conversations.
It's like the polar bear plunge.
It kind of is, yeah. And you know, you've got to be a little aggressive in engaging the conversation. You know, you got to. You can't just let them strike up the conversation. You've got to strike up the conversation. You want to be somewhat winsome in doing so. You can't start out screaming at the top of your lungs. You kind of have to be, you know, fairly calm. And yet we had two things going on at the same time. There's a little bit of tension going on at the clinic. When you go down to abortion clinic, you're dealing with two different aspects. The first is you're dealing with the law. Okay, the law. And your signs say...
And you're not talking about God's law, you're talking about man's law.
We have a big sign that says, babies are murdered here. It's very, very plain, very concise, straight to the point. You know, you read those four words as you're driving by, and, you know, 300 cars or 6,000 cars or whatever it was saw the sign, babies are murdered here. Okay, that's an expression of law.
Yes.
That's basically saying, we're against murder, murder is wrong. We should stop murdering. You should stop murdering. Then you want to also get to grace. You want to get to, you know, we all have these problems of selfishness and desire to murder our neighbor and our tiniest, most helpless neighbors, and we tend to ignore them. And even as babies are being murdered here, everybody's doing their business, and nobody seems to care that these little babies are receiving this torment, this torture in this building. So you're sort of pressing people's consciences with the laws of God, which is appropriate. That's what the apostles do when they turn to the Jews in Acts chapter 2 and say, you murdered the Messiah.
Yes.
Kind of the bad news. And then he says, but repent and understand he died on the cross for our sins. So you get to grace. So do we address law or grace? And here's the next question people ask. What are you guys doing down there? You ought to be out there witnessing the gospel.
Okay, that was going to be the next question.
Right.
Shouldn't you just be preaching the gospel?
Yeah, you're supposed to be saving souls. What are you trying to do saving lives? Number one, that's a little bit Gnostic. That's kind of dualistic. God
is
as concerned about the life, the physical life, as he is the spiritual life. Both are important.
Yes.
So there's this Gnosticism in Christianity that wants to focus in on the spiritual but could care less about the physical. That's just Gnosticism. It's Marcionism, Gnosticism. It's just the dualism, and it's not biblical. I think God is concerned about the life and the soul. God is concerned about grace and law, both of these things, and we're engaging both. And when people say, are you down there for the soul or for the life, they're engaging in an either-or fallacy.
Right.
You know, this is a logical fallacy.
Right.
It's as if you can't say, yes, I'm there for all
both.
Of it.
Yes.
I'm there for all of it. You know, they're putting you on the horns of a dilemma or an either-or fallacy, but we ought to just come back and say, we're here for both and. And here's the next tension or dichotomy that I was, you know, grappling with. And I'm sitting there grappling with all these dichotomies. You know, why am I here? Why am I here?
Right.
We're there for the life. We're there for the soul. We're there for preaching God's law. We're there for preaching God's grace. We're there for the corporate and for the individual.
Yes.
You see, all the signs and all of the protesting or that we're not on board with what Planned Parenthood is doing here in this building is communicating a message to everybody passing, including all of the shops in this open mall, Burlington Coat Factory, the barber that is right next door, and we had long conversations with him. He came out and talked to us, a wonderful man, and, you know, he's you know, talking to us about these things. And so, you know, all of these shops are getting the message. So in this corporate sense, we're protesting what, in a political sense, we're protesting what Planned Parenthood is doing on this location. But are we also addressing individuals who are making individual decisions based upon their worldviews? Are we addressing these individuals at the same time we're addressing the corporate and in the political sense? And I would say, right, yes, we're doing it all. We're doing all of it. It's all happening right there. And we don't have to be stuck in this either or horns of a dilemma.
Right.
We can just be out there doing all of it.
And that's what a worldview is. A worldview permeates every aspect of culture, as opposed to the false dichotomy of, well, you Christians just go back to your church and you're free to worship God in your church, but don't bring it into the marketplace of ideas. And we forget that the job of the church, as one somebody quipped, is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. That's what you were doing out on the street, because you were bringing comfort to those who were about to murder their child. And you were making very uncomfortable those who wanted to turn a blind eye to what was happening. And so you were doing the work of the church. And that's what Christians should be about. Christians should be about bringing truth and grace into the marketplace of ideas. And that is why we as a nation are in such trouble. That's why you do what you do. That's why I do what I do with Worldview Academy and training students. We are wanting to raise up a generation who have vision, valor, and virtue.
Bill, speaking of worldviews, Gloria Steinem's got a worldview too.
Yeah, Gloria Steinem. Now, most people won't even know who she is. So tell me who she is.
She's the raging feminist from the 1970s and 1980s.
Yep.
Big time pro-abort. Ms. Magazine, I think it was.
Yep.
Edited Ms. Magazine. Here's an excellent little picture that my dad sent to me a couple of days ago. This is a Gloria Steinem quote, and she's there in the picture. But the quote says this: if banning guns and ammunition can save just one child, then we should strongly consider it. Okay, that's Gloria Steinem. Now, I want you to read her T-shirt. What's her T-shirt say?
Her T-shirt says, I had an abortion.
Remember, if we could save just one child,
we should ban guns. We should ban abortion.
We should own guns.
Yes.
And defend our children.
Yes.
And we should stop abortions and attend these protests.
I'm telling you.
And if you can save one child in one of these protests, as she said, if you could save one child, you should strongly consider it.
You know, head on down
to the abortion clinic. I think that's what she's saying. Just head on down to the abortion clinic.
Yeah.
If you could save one child.
Just by talking to people
and talk to some folks and
talking to people,
tell them to stop.
You know,
everybody just stop.
You know, I mentioned Mark Harrington before with Created Equal back down in Albuquerque when they were going to ban late term abortions, when they were going to have a vote on that. He was down there with his group. He was the required distance away from the voting booth, and yet he still got arrested, and he's facing a court trial down in Albuquerque.
Wow.
Because of that. Because of exercising his First Amendment liberties within the law.
Think about how many people have worked so hard to save the lives of children.
Yeah.
And they have done prison time for their efforts.
Yes.
They haven't hurt anybody in the process.
No.
And we don't advocate hurting anybody in the process.
Nope.
We're just saying, get out there and encourage people by signs and by verbal communication not to kill their children. And granted, many get arrested. And many of us are going to receive a fair amount of flack from the police for it. But hello, Jesus did too. All right. Well, let's wrap up the program, Bill. Before we do so, let's remind folks that we are staying on the air by 100 faithful sponsors that come forward every year and volunteer for a year commitment to the Generations Radio broadcast. We only need 100 people to volunteer, 10 bucks a month, 20 bucks a month, 100 bucks a month to keep us on the air. We are reaching tens of thousands of people around the United States, 100 countries around the world tuning into this program. And not many programs do what we do.
No. No, not too many do them in the, confines of the bunker that we're living in either.
Somebody once told me, we are focused on the family on steroids. Okay, I'll take that.
And so the bunker needs some decorating.
It does.
So it needs a little renovation.
It does.
My folding chair that's got the padded seat that's ripped.
Yep.
I need some new duct tape.
Chair. I need more duct tape.
More duct tape
for Bill Jack's chair.
That's okay. Right.
That's a good cause, friends. It's a good cause.
It doesn't cost much.
No, it doesn't.
Don't please do not send rolls of duct tape.
Nope.
Please do send.
Send the dollars.
Yes.
Yep.
Because this is the only way that this continues.
Okay. And you can support the program at kevinswanson.com or generationsradio.com. Just hit that site and move on to donate today. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast, and you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.